You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You, where we will be looking at the relationship between performance, prosperity, and overall well-being. I'm delighted to have with me all the way from Victoria, Australia, Neville Starick. He is a performance, or rather a prosperity and performance strategist. Welcome, Neville. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Howard. It's wonderful to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Great. Absolutely. So, as you know, and the listeners know, only one set question, which is just tell us a little bit about your background and how you get to be what you're doing today.
Yeah, it's kind of like, where do you start is an interesting thing. I'll try and keep it short, but essentially my story starts with decisions that my parents made about living outside of their own cultures. And that then influenced my experience of living outside of my parents' culture. And that's given me an exposure to the world that has helped me to understand people and what's common across humanity. I've had a career in education. I've worked in human resources in a hospitality organization and moved into the therapy space because that seemed to be a natural progression of the interests that I had. And then what's been happening recently is that I've been moving into this space of realizing that the thing that ties all of the things together that I do is this interest in people's well-being and seeing well-being as the catalyst for a prosperous life. And that's been interesting just realizing the thread that's been running through everything that I've been doing. So
interesting. How would you define prosperity? Because I think people might view that only in material terms or so forth. So that might be important.
It's very interesting for me because, I mean, I had the same issue. I had somebody that challenged me recently to say that what you're actually doing is you're helping people create a prosperous life. And my first thought was like, well, I'm not working in finance. Right. I don't work material wealth. I don't work the prosperity. That's prosperity in that as defined by money or defined by assets. So, but as I thought about it, I realized is that prosperity is not really about money and assets, even though we're presented with that picture all the time and saying it's like, this is what demonstrates your prosperous life. Actually, what demonstrates your prosperous life is the quality of the life that you have. And what I came to realize is that there are five key things that contribute to quality. And strangely enough, money and assets were a side issue. They really weren't the main focus at all. So the five areas of prosperity that I came up with is like the quality relationships that you have in your life. They have a huge impact on the quality of your life. Being involved in meaningful work or service, and that can be paid work or not paid work, but just having some kind of meaningful activity to do, that was also a significant piece of the prosperity equation. The third thing was about the physical and psychological well-being, which they kind of go together. It's around your wellness on a physical and a psychological level, and making sure that you have a body that works to be able to engage in life that you actually want. The fourth thing is having the opportunity for rest and recreation. And this, I'm becoming convinced that this is one of the scourges of our age, is that we're just too busy. We don't make time to rest. We don't make time to actually enjoy the life that we have. We're always moving on to the next thing. So your prosperous life, though, depends on having the space, because that provides the opportunity to recharge and to be able to celebrate the things that you already have. And finally, the last pillar of prosperity that I talk about is what I call spirituality. It doesn't necessarily have to have a religious connotation, although it often does. But it's more about, like, am I connected to a picture that's larger than me and larger than my little life? And sort of people realizing that this, my life is not just about me.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, those are really critical things. I like the way you have used the word prosperity there, though I could see how people think that this is only about finance, because it's used pretty much in those terms, but it's more than that.
Yeah. Quite often the pursuit of money and of material assets becomes a distraction from the quality life, and it actually delays your experience of prosperity, because people are thinking, it's like, when I get to this point, then I will start experiencing a prosperous life. But your prosperous life can actually start now, and a lot of people don't realize that. They think that prosperity is somewhere in the future.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure, very familiar with the studies on happiness around the world, where money has, you know, a value up to a certain point. I think today that's around, like, in US terms, like $120,000 a year or something like that. But after that, does not seem to contribute at all. And I think we do have to make that distinction between financial stress and financial relief and and happiness. Financial relief is financial relief. It is not happiness, and neither is it necessarily prosperity.
Yep. And it's very, very interesting how people confuse those things. It's like, the more money I have, the more opportunities that I have to have a prosperous life. And actually, if you haven't set the groundwork, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you will still be sitting there feeling like, I'm not prosperous, or right, not having a prospering life. So it's much more than the money that you have. Certainly, the money that you have available to you can give you some more options than you might have had, but it doesn't create prosperity. It can only enhance what you already got.
Yes. And of course, we all know people, I'm sure, not just celebrities, but in our own orbit, of people who, you know, have a lot of money but are pretty miserable, and certainly wouldn't consider themselves prosperous. I'm actually, interestingly enough, I have a good story about that. There was a woman I was doing therapy with. She lived in a very, very upmarket house and an upstyle life here. Her marriage was challenging. She eventually divorced her husband. And I saw her about a year later, and she was living in a trailer. And she said, I've never been happier. Here she's gone from this great mansion to a trailer, and she's saying, I've never been happier. And I think one of the things that I'm sure you definitely can speak to is this mindset, this cultural mindset of, we got to work, make more money, into a point where it's almost like you never have enough, you know? Right? I'm sure you see that.
Yes, and it's an interesting thing. I'm just reminded, there was a story told about the tycoon Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, And the story is told, and I don't know if this is true or not, but on his deathbed, he was sitting there going, it's like his last words are something that's like, just one more dollar. And I'm going, it's like, wow, that's all he had to live for was just to accumulate more and more and more. And that's not a quality life in my books. That's you're constantly dissatisfied and constantly living with a comparison and a scarcity mindset in some respects, where it's almost like that I need to accumulate more and more and more just in case, and not appreciating what you already have.
Yes, and I think also for a lot of people who are wealthy, it's the more money you get, the more your expectations increase, so you never actually get there because, oh, well, I got 10 million, but I really wish I had 15. Let me see if I can make another five, One of the interesting things, and I'm sure again you're familiar with this, on those studies of happiness, which limited the benefits of, X amount of money. There was a study then followed up by Harvard, where they said, well, maybe there weren't too many very rich people in this sample. Let's compare people who've got $10 million plus with just $1 million. And actually what they found was the people who had a lot of money, the 10 million, did say they were happier, but for one main reason. They could contribute that money to causes that they were interested and engaged in. In other words, it was meaningful to them. It wasn't just money, it's now I can do something with it.
Yes, and I think that's an important distinction there. It's like the amount of money that you have, as I said earlier, it opens up opportunities to do things that connect in with passions. Whereas the less money that we have, the more it can be about survival. And maintaining the basics of life. So, and I'm not against wealth at all. That's this is not the whole thing. But the thing is that your prosperous life is somewhat independent of your wealth.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, no question, because independent of your financial status, you can find meaning, purpose, be happy, all of those things. And the message culturally is no, you gotta have a lot of money to, not really.
Or you've got all of these things that cost money, so therefore you need to be getting more money so you can access this stuff. And it's like, well, you don't have to have it in a lot of ways. So.
And material possessions actually, after a point, become less and less important, I think. And as you age, people are trying to get rid of all the stuff they've accumulated. Who am I going to give it away or whatever? It doesn't mean anything to me.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Yes.
So obviously your coaching is really around this topic, I think, of getting people focused on what really prosperity is and what they can do to achieve it.
Yes, very much so. And it's interesting for me because I mean a lot of people are coming to work with me that usually with specific problems. There's something that's going on in their life that isn't going well. And I mean, it could be on any of those five areas that I talked about, and they're being affected by that. And part of what I'm doing with people is helping them to examine, like, why does it have to be this way? So, and it's been fascinating, sort of hearing people's stories. It's like, well, this is what my parents asked of me. This is what everyone's doing around me. So this is what I think I should be doing. And the question that comes up on a regular basis is like, but what do you want? And a lot of people are really disconnected from that because all we've seen is what's out here and what is being presented as our prosperous life. And so therefore we start running the gamut of like, okay, I'm going to go through and I'm going to do all of this. And this kind of really hit home for me. When I was living overseas myself, I lived in the US for 7 years. And in the process, I was in a stage of life, like in my late 20s, early 30s. And I had lots of friends of mine were going through this very, very clear pattern. It's like, finish university, get a job, get a girlfriend, buy a house, get married, start having a family. And it was just like, here was this lockstep type of process. Well, it's like, and it was fine. There's nothing wrong with that process, but I was feeling really pressured to be going down that route myself. And I'm going, I'm not sure that I want that. But the pressure was really, really tough. And there was no way to really switch off from seeing that this was happening and sort of asking the question in myself was like, am I doing something wrong with my life that I'm not following this pattern? And I mean, it was an interesting wrestle that kind of led me to a lot of processing through a lot of my own values and the things that were really important to me at that particular point in time. And at that particular point in time, that pattern didn't work. It was not where I wanted to be. And it was really hard. It was one of the things that actually led me to leave the US and to return back to Australia and to go into the counseling studies, because I was actually, there was something there that wasn't meaningful about that pattern at that particular moment in time. So fast forward a few years, it's like I'm married now. I do own a house. I've completed a degree, a second degree. And it's just kind of like, well, I didn't do that for the sake of having those things. These are things that have happened to turn up in the process. And they have their place now, whereas before they didn't.
Yes.
And sometimes the whole thing about timing is really important. It's just like, yes, those things are nice to have, but is it something that I need to have right now? And when I work with business owners around some of their issues that they're working through and do some coaching around their business practices and stuff like that, I will get them to look at like, what is it that you're trying to create? And here are all these things that you think you need in your business. Now, they might be really helpful for your business, but do you need it right now? And asking that question, it's like, okay, it's nice to have. How is it going to enhance your business? And is it going to create more work for you than you already have by taking this on right now? Or is it going to reduce your workload? And getting people to really think through those issues, because there's that bright, shiny object syndrome that goes around all the time. It's like, the latest thing that everybody needs to have. You need to be doing this. You need to be purchasing this. You need to have this app. You need to have this tool. And it's like, okay, it works for the person that's promoting it. But the question is it something that I need right now? And there's such a pressure to be very impulsive, to be very let's jump on board the latest thing. Yes. And it's like, well, sometimes that's not the right thing for where you are at this particular moment in time. So that's been an important learning for me. I mean, I've done some silly things myself where it's just got the emotional pull has been like, yeah, this will be the next thing that will really revolutionize my business and my life.
Right.
And then, wow, that was a lot of hard work and a lot of expense. And at the end, I really not got very much out of it at all.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. And I do like the idea of the timing of doing things is important. We'll take a short commercial break right back and we'll talk about that because I think it's really important. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm talking with Neville Starrick from Australia, who has a nice definition of prosperity. And we've been talking about the misleading conception that people have that it's all about money, 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 when in fact, actually, that is very misleading and can lead you astray. We finished that first section talking about how timing is important, that you don't do things just because somebody tells you this is the next thing to do in life. You do them because you're ready to do them for the right reason. Yeah, I had a client whose kid went to college and just was not into it at all, dropped out. They were pulling their hair out. You know, he went and did a variety of things. 3 years later, he went back to college with a different mindset. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, and it worked. Great. Good. A good example of timing being important.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because, I mean, some people coming in with some mental health challenges that I work with in the therapy space, they're often using the comparison thing. I should be like this. I should be like that. This should be happening in my life. There is somebody that I worked with recently. It's like, I don't feel like normal people. Okay, well, have the conversation about what normal actually is, because the thing that we think is normal may actually be not a good description of who we are. And understanding who we are, that we need to work with what we've got, the cards that we've been dealt, the things that we've been given. This is our foundation. This is what it is that we have to work with. We may not have what other people have to be in the place that they are, and whatever it is that you consider to be normal. We may not have been given those things. So it's about sometimes stepping back and taking stock of, like, what are the messages that I'm believing about what life should be like? What is it that I know about myself? And how does that interface with these messages? Do these messages fit with the person that I am? I mean, just case in point, I have a fairly strong introvert preference, and it's one of those things that I've known about for a long time. But over time, I've become really familiar with what that actually means. And of course, that doesn't mean that I'm shy. It doesn't mean that I can't be outgoing. It doesn't mean that I can't be social. It means that my energy levels get drained by lots of interaction and external stimulation. And so I need to have space to withdraw so I can recharge. And also so I've got time to think, because being bombarded by stimulation all the time, it's just like, whoa, it's like it just becomes a jangle of just thoughts and things that are unfinished that I haven't had time to process. So for me, that's become really important. It's become a priority in how I set up my business and how I live my life, is that I don't sit there and go from activity to activity to activity to activity, because that's not going to work for me. I'm going to get to the end of my day, if that's the way my day has been, and I'm going to be completely exhausted. Right. And that's That's not how I want to finish my day. I want to finish my day feeling like I've still got a little bit of energy left for the things that I want to do, not just the things that have been scheduled.
And that you have to do. Yes, and you mentioned a spiritual component to this, and I think this is important. I, in the fairly recent part, have been making this distinction, although there's an overlap, between doing and being. Live in this doing culture that you've got to be doing things.
Yes.
And in fact, you look at artificial intelligence is very good at doing things, but it can't be anything. Mm. It can just do stuff. So do we want to be just like that, just rote doing things and making rationalizations for it? Or do we want to step back and say, who do I want to be, not what do I want to do?
Yes, and I love that distinction there, because a lot of times we do get hooked up in the activities and the proving to the outside world that we are valuable, that we are productive, that we are this, we are that, and so on. And it becomes a never-ending cycle. You'll never satisfy everybody. And sometimes you may not satisfy anybody with the decisions that you make and the way that you do things. And it's about, can I live with the person that I am, that I'm with 24 hours a day? Can I live with that person? Is this person the person that I want to be? It's an amazing shift. And it then helps to make some decisions about, like, what, if this is the person that I am, what are the activities that are a true reflection of who I am? And what are the messages I want to be telling myself about who I am and how I engage with this world?
Yes.
Very important question that I think so often we don't make any time for.
No, we really don't. And we need to. Unquestionably, we need to. People have this sort of mistaken assumption that if they're not, you know, in processing, beta wave processing mode, they're being unproductive. And that is wrong. That is simply a myth, because Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge, right? Those times, those downtimes where we're just not, you know, not processing, we're just being, we're experiencing things. Those are the most creative times you have. You probably have your best ideas then, right?
Yep. And the whole value of the rest and recreation pillar of prosperity that I talk about is that it gives you the space to be creative. It gives you permission to actually say, this is something that is important to the quality of my life. And the link with spirituality is pretty clear. It's like spirituality often involves some form of being still and being still in order to get a bigger picture of what's going on in my life and where my life fits in a larger scheme of things. The more secular our society gets, the harder that is to find those spaces, because once you take the spirituality out of life, there's kind of like, well, what's left?
Yes. What's the point?
You don't have a big picture. And so therefore, all you've got is the activity that's going on from moment to moment. And the spirituality is about making sense of the activity. Why am I doing this? Why? What is this about? And how does this contribute to something beyond my life? And there are really big questions in there. And for some people, they've got amazingly large pictures that they're working towards. And they're seeing themselves embedded in this cosmic type of picture. For other people, the picture may not be as big, but there's something there about, like, I'm not just here for me, that changes the way you live your life.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, this is essential because, you know, at the extreme end, it's, you know, extreme capitalism, manipulation, just using people, no morality, no virtue, whatever you, there's only winners and losers and all that nonsense. That's not a very productive or certainly going to lead most anyone to happiness. I don't think.
No.
You know, it's got to be greater meaning than that. If that's all it is, what's the point?
I mean, and so, I mean, if your ultimate meaning is just to accumulate stuff, I mean, there comes a point where it's just like, well, is there ever going to be enough stuff that I've accumulated? And if I'm only pursuing the stuff, what happens to all the other parts of my life? So, yeah, it's an interesting reflection. It's like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And what does all this stuff actually mean?
Right.
If it's just for the point of saying that I have it, then why have it?
Yeah. It's got to be a greater meaning to it. And, you know, I'm sure your clients come from all sorts of different sectors. Do some of them, at least, is this a sort of new realization for them they haven't had before, that they're sort of working on the treadmill, as it were, and not standing back and looking at their life in a bigger picture, I guess, right?
Yeah, and for some people, they have never challenged any of the thoughts that they've lived, that they've been told about. There's sort of that they've just accepted and absorbed from the outside all the messages about this is what life should be like, and then they find that their life isn't like that, or they are sitting in a life that is moving in that direction, but they feel like an entire fraud.
Yes.
It's like, I don't actually belong in this particular life. And that can be a big signal, a big wake-up call. It's like, maybe I'm not in the right place. Maybe I've actually made decisions that aren't in alignment with who I am and that don't fit. Interesting thing, I have a friend of mine who went to college, did the whole college route, struggled for years to get through and complete a degree, started a postgraduate degree because that was the next logical step, because a bachelor's degree wasn't enough, and then left, and then has moved off in a completely different space. He's now working in a wonderful space of construction that he didn't know was a good fit for him until he fell into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of like, and things have emerged out of that, where it's just like his passion is for the industry and to help the industry to bring in a more diverse range of people in that sector. And he's finding that things are emerging, things are growing, things are happening as he's living with, this is where I am now. This is what's drawing my attention. And now here's this new thing. And this is adding or building on the foundation of what it is that I'm already doing. And I found that in my own life as well. It's just like you sit there and you go through experiences in life. I mean, I started off in education and as a career and was working in schools, and it had this experience of burnout that totally changed the direction of my life. And it was kind of like I had never considered that I would do anything other than being a school teacher. That's just been a focus since I was the age of four. And I just kind of had worked my way towards that. And I was very single-minded about it, very focused about it. And burnout was never part of the equation. It was kind of like, so when I have had this experience of burnout, I'm sitting there going, have I made the wrong decision? Have I been going down the wrong path all this time? And I really shouldn't have been going this direction at all. And there was a lot of soul searching that went on for a number of years. And so fast forward quite a number of years later, when I'm actually finding myself in a new space and doing all sorts of different things, all of the experiences, including the burnout, including the teaching experience, including my years of testing things out and trying out different kinds of careers, it has given me interesting little stepping stones into the things I'm doing now.
Absolutely.
And it's been amazing to look back and say, well, at the time I didn't know I was going to end up here. I had no idea that I would be working in this space. I had no idea I'd be running my own business. I had no idea that I'd actually be supporting other business owners in running their businesses, as well as doing therapy stuff. And it's just been fascinating how all of these different pieces, like you've developed some skills in this area that while you didn't stay in that sector, you're actually using them in the next phase of your life, and it continues on. And I find that a beautiful thing to realize for myself. And I'm also really realizing that a number of people are sitting there at career junctures in specifically where they're going, I need to move into a different space, but I don't know how what's in my past fits with where I want to be. Right. So I don't know how to present myself. So having the conversations with people about unpacking their experience and working out not just what their transferable skills are, but what are the values that, what are the things that are really important to them, which then helps them in their interviewing process and being able to ask the questions that they need answered instead of just waiting for that information to appear. So that's also a fascinating thing. I mean, that career interest developed out of my own experience of not knowing at all what I had to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this notion that somehow, you know, by the time you're 20, you should know exactly what your career path is absurd, particularly the way the world is changing so rapidly. But also personal development. You don't know enough about yourself at 20 to make that decision, right? It is important to wait and try things out. I mean, I knew a guy, he wanted to be a vet, but he went to a specific school that was a little different, so they couldn't get him into vet school. So he tried all sorts of different things. He was an auto mechanic. He did all this. And then he eventually got into vet school, which he wanted. And he said, all of those things that I did, like the auto mechanic, that really helped me in my surgery. You never know how generalizable these skills are. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back with this fascinating discussion about what prosperity really is.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to have a great conversation with Neville Starick, where we are unpacking what is important in life and what does prosperity, for example, really mean. Fascinating conversation, Neville. And I like your own trajectory, where you found what was important to you in your time, not anyone else's time frame, which is unreasonable a lot of the time for people. Yeah. And that obviously served you well. And one of the things that I see, and you see this in some professions, and particularly the medical profession, where some of the demands have changed. Last year I went for a kind of checkup with a doctor of mine, and he asked me how I was doing. And I said, well, I'm doing fine. I said, how are you doing? And he put his head in his hands, and, you know, basically it was the edge of burnout, and, you know, said, if I didn't love all, well, most of my clients, I wouldn't be doing this, because the demands, you know, when he went to medical school, it was, I'm going to help people. Now it's all this admin work and all this stuff. So, man, be careful what you wish for, right?
Yes. And that, but that can also be a flag as well. It's just like, do I need to be working in this system? Is this system actually working for me to be able to help me to be the person that I want to be? And I find that interesting. I had an experience where I went back to employment. I took a year off from my business. My mother had just died, and we relocated down to this area, and there was just a lot of upheaval. And I just thought, I'm not reestablishing a business when I'm in this space. So I went back to employment, and the employment experience was really difficult, because there was a very rigid type of approach to the way they did things. And it was just like, I don't fit in this space. I was struggling. The role was very, very ill-defined and was in the process of transition itself. And it was almost like, I can't be this person that you are expecting me to be. This is just, and there were pressures to actually just basically leave the job. That I'm sitting there going, okay, you want me to go and get upskilled in a particular area. That's fine. I'm happy to do that. And I need time to be able to, I need notice to be able to arrange my life to make that happen. Well, 2 weeks I was given. And so I said, no, I'm not doing the training right now. And then I got pushback. And it's like, well, aren't you willing to go and do the training? And I'm sort of like, oh, that was in my job description. Yay, they're having problems with this. And it's going, it has nothing to do with my willingness. It's about, you're not respecting my time. You're not respecting that this is a complete upheaval of my life to be able to do this. You've given me no time to actually be successful in this. And yeah, it didn't go over well, but it was one of the things for me that just made me realize that I've grown and changed. It's like, when I was younger, I thought I was only ever going to be an employee. I kind of thought that I would be working under the direction of somebody else, and I would be okay with that. I'm at the stage now where it's just like, I can't do that anymore. it's like, it needs to be very, very well aligned. And if it's not aligned, then I shouldn't be putting myself in there. Because what I found is, like, I was in that role for about 7 months, and I just got more and more stressed. And it was just like, I'm carrying this load of trying to fit into this box that I don't fit in. Right. I don't fit in. And I'm trying to get clarity. I'm trying to find out where I've got room to move. And there was so much upheaval going on within the organization and within my own team at that particular point in time that it was like, I'm just getting lost in all of this. And so it was just an interesting awareness for me. And at the same time, and the parallels actually from my burnout experience were really interesting. And I was noticing that, and I thought, I've been here before. I have tried to fit myself into a box before, and it didn't do me any good. I can't stay in this context. There is no give and take. It's all, I've got all the accountability and all the responsibility, but no support. And that was coming back to, it's like, I'm going to fail in this particular context, and I can't do that.
And honestly, it's really like anything in life. And in the show, we focused on people where they have fully engaged in what they are doing. Okay, that's what you got to do. And for some of these people, they fully engaged in their attempt to heal physically, mentally. And when they did, some of them, just amazing results, results. And that's the miracle. You've got to be really engaged. It's not, well, I'm doing this to, you know, make a living, or I'm doing this because, you know, I need to do, I'm bored, or whatever it is. Yeah. You have got to be 150% on board. It's, you know, and when that happens, that's when the miracles happen.
Yep. And I'm seeing the link here between the engagement and the sense of meaning. I mean, I don't know how often I'm coming across people who they're just doing what they've been told to do, and they've never questioned it. They have never it doesn't feel right, but they don't realize that they have a choice. It's like, this is what everybody else is doing, so therefore this is what I must do. And it's like, well, if that fits with you, yes. But if you're sitting there with this general sense of feeling like I'm a fish out of water, I'm like the odd person out, this doesn't feel right, or I'm getting really, really stressed. There are some signals going on that's saying it's like, this is possibly not the right fit. This is not the right fit at all. So maybe that it's time to sit there and look at the messages that you've taken on board and challenge them. Why is it that I have to do a 9-to-5 job? Why is it that I have to have this amount of money? Why is it that I have to be living in this particular situation? Why is it that I have to be in this career? And whenever I'm hearing people saying that I have to, or I must, or I need to, there's kind of a signal that there's some pressure coming from somewhere else. Okay, why do you need to? What is so important about this that it has to be like this? And the other thing that I encounter a lot is that people sit there, once they start asking those questions, they get kind of scared. It's like, if I start challenging this, then I will have to make change, and I don't know if I am prepared for the repercussions of the changes that might come out of this. That's a fair call, because I mean, you've been living in a familiar thing. It may not be pleasant, but you at least know what it is that you're walking through. But the journey of prosperity is about opening yourself up to new experiences too. And that can be where you find your meaning, is the whole sense of I'm going to take a step into something that is uncomfortable, that is unfamiliar. It doesn't necessarily have to be I'm going to quit my job and move to Tibet, that kind of thing. I mean, some people will do
Absolutely.
that. But I mean, what are the small things that I can start to do now that will begin to shift my experience of life? So if I'm there with a life of feeling jaded and feeling really frustrated or resentful, or not feeling like I'm going anywhere, that's part of your signal that something needs to shift. And what is it that needs to shift? The challenge that I find that a number of people make, particularly those who are moving into a wealthier space, is that they're sitting in what I call a golden cage. And it's like, I've got all of these perks that turn up with the situation that I'm in. And for me to challenge myself and to move out of that is to let go of some of those things. And it's not that I can't let go of those things. It's like, do I want to let go of those things? And again, the question then comes back to, it's like, what purpose does that serve in my life? And is that purpose still valid?
And are you fully engaged? Are you really on board with it, I think?
Am I fully engaged, and am I really on board? And is this moving me into the life I really want? Am I experiencing prosperity now?
And don't realize
And
it.
yeah, well, I mean, and if the answer is no, I'm not experiencing prosperity, then it's like, then something is not right with one of the with several, possibly all of those areas. It's like, so. And there need to be the hard decisions need to be made. Just because you're living a prosperous life doesn't guarantee that it's going to be easy. And I think that's one of the other myths that comes along with this thing of prosperity, is it's like, when I've got a prosperous life, it won't be hard. It won't be hard ever. And I'm sitting there going, that's actually unrealistic, because coming back to the spirituality thing, there are things in life that over which we have no control. So
Absolutely.
the things that we think are making it easy for us may not be the things that we have the capacity to keep in place, so that the things may not stay easy the whole way through. And one of the things that spirituality can do is to help you to come to terms with, like, how do I deal with suffering? How do I deal with the hardness of life when life gets hard? How do I make sense of that? What do I need to do around my suffering? Do I need to find relief? Is that all I need to do? Do I need to change things so that the suffering reduces, or do I live through this and learn and grow through that? I came across this fascinating concept that really resonated with me a little while ago. I think it's Dr. Richard Tedeschi, if I'm remembering correctly. He's doing a whole thing on post-traumatic growth as opposed to post-traumatic stress.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And the post-traumatic growth concept was the whole idea that while suffering is difficult and it's hard and it's not something that we aspire to experience, it happens. And what we do with that experience can either lead to being in constant stress, or it can lead to an opportunity for growth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And part of his push is about for it to become growth, often it's important to have some significant people alongside who can be the expert companion.
No question.
And that absolutely resonated with me, because I find that that's what I'm doing with a lot of people. It's like I'm not necessarily providing solutions for people. I'm helping people. I'm sitting with people in their discomfort and in the distress, helping them to make sense of that so that they can then decide what they need to do with it.
Absolutely.
And then in the process, helping them to understand themselves so that they can work with not just their strengths, but also their limitations.
Yeah.
Because the illusion that we have around the prosperity as material asset, very visible type of thing, is that we've got no limits.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do have limits. It's like, and your body will tell you when you reach
them. Absolutely.
Yeah. And,
So, Neville, this has been a great conversation. We could continue it, I think, almost indefinitely. Before we go, though, tell the listeners where they can find you.
Right. The best place for people to reach me and to get a little bit more information about what I do is to go to my website, signaturecounselingandcoaching.com.au, which is up here on the screen behind me. There is an opportunity there. If you want to talk to me, you can book a free 15-minute call to just have a conversation about and ask you questions and see if what I do is something that would be helpful for you. That is connected into a calendar tool that will match people's time zones and work with when my availability is and so on. So but start there. That'd be a great place for us to connect. And I'm also on LinkedIn. If people want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm very happy to expand my network there. Social media, I have a Facebook page, Signature Counseling and Coaching, if people would like to have a look at that.
That's great. Yeah, and Signature is spelled CynoSure. Signature. Yeah, great. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Neville. A great conversation. I really appreciate what you have been talking about and what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Much appreciated.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.
Hey y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos, all thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.